5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It was the moment West Australians have been longing for, and yesterday we learnt just exactly who was the enigma of the dark. That one person that cast such a long shadow over Perth for more than 20 years. Bradley Robert Edwards was found guilty of the murder of Jane Rimmer and Kira Glennon. Police Commissioner Chris Dawson summed it up by saying he can now be referred to for what he is, a brutal rapist and murderer. But our collective hearts ache all over again for the family and loved ones of Sarah Spears. Still nothing. No evidence and no conviction. 9,009 days since she went missing. Just vanished from the streets of Claremont. But both the Premier and Commissioner Dawson have confirmed we will never give up trying to find out what happened to her. Joining me today is Police Minister Michelle Roberts to discuss what could be next for WA's most chilling cold case. Also, in more sad news, I feel like it's just been a week for it really, the passing of cricketing legend Dean Jones. I'll be joined by his old mate Justin Langer to remember the great man. It's a big show, so let's get into it.
The West Live. The West Live with Jenna Clark. Brought to you by Neds. Take it to the Neds level. Gamble responsibly. 1 800 858
858. WA Police Commissioner Chris Dawson has said police will never give up in their search for Sarah Spears. And the Premier yesterday pleaded with Edwards or anyone in the general public to disclose any knowledge that they have of the location of Sarah Spears' body. Joining me now is Police Minister Michelle Roberts. Minister, how are you feeling today after probably what was the most historic moment in WA criminal history?
I think the whole community really breathed a sigh of relief yesterday because it came to the conclusion. I don't know how we would have reacted had we got a not guilty verdict. I mean, yes, Bradley Edwards would have remained in jail because of the offences that he'd admitted to, including the rape at Karrakatta Cemetery, but it just would have left that whole couple of decades that we've worried about who the Claremont serial killer is unanswered. So a collective sigh of relief. I think yesterday, you know, it was hard to be jubilant, but there was certainly very much that sense of relief. And that those killings of beautiful young women cast such a long shadow over the West Australian community for so long, and so that's now been lifted.
Yeah,
it doesn't bring the girls back, but it certainly answers the question that the whole community has sort of lived in fear of for decades now.
Absolutely, you must be incredibly proud of all of your charges in the West Australian Police Force. How are they feeling? Have you spoken to the Commissioner about, I guess, how the entire force is feeling the day after the biggest decision, considering they've sunk so many resources into this for so many years?
Absolutely. I spoke with the Commissioner yesterday just after the result, and we reflected on a number of things, including the fact that the cost in dollar terms to West Australian Police Force has been some, over $56 million.
Wow.
over a period of going back more than 20 years. Of course, the Huntingdale crime, I think, went back to the time when Brian Bull was police commissioner, so about five police commissioners have been involved right from the start. So, really, really pleased. I think certainly those police officers that have, and keep in mind, it's 20 years since the last offence, so there's been a lot of police officers, probably most of our police officers weren't in the force when the inquiries about Claremont actually started. But right across the force, I'm very, very proud of the work that people did. So dogged, they never, ever gave up.
And that's, I think, what when we saw Commissioner Dawson take to the steps in front of the district court yesterday, and he spoke so strongly about, I guess, what is next, because obviously we didn't get a verdict for the disappearance or the murder of Sarah Spears. He said that we will never stop looking for her and things like that. Obviously, very, very early days. But what are you hoping to see and committed to the ongoing cold case?
I think one of the things often that the public don't get to see is how closely our police work with the victims, the parents of those mm-hmm. that have lost loved ones, mm-hmm. the close relatives of those lost loved ones. You come to feel their pain.
Yeah.
You want the result for them. So I know that Chris Dawson in particular has worked so closely with all of the parents. I think all of us feel for Carol and Don Spears, the fact that there was no result there.
Yeah.
But Chris has met with them, met with the other parents, many, many times over the years. So we've got the result on two, mm-hmm. But we want to get that result on the third for Carol and Don.
Yeah, absolutely. You've been quite vocal over the past couple of months talking about, you know, the cold cases impacting young women and young people that have disappeared, like mm-hmm. Lisa Mott down in Collie, and offering a reward. Do you think that you'll focus on something like this now as a bit of a refresh for 2021, potentially, for someone like Sarah Spears?
Absolutely. One of the key issues here is that a body hasn't been found.
Yeah.
Certainly police will make it their business to talk to Bradley Edwards. The judge clearly believes that he did do that crime. Mm. However, it wasn't proven beyond reasonable doubt. That's largely because we haven't got the physical evidence of the body. Advances in DNA and technology over the last decade or so have just been phenomenal. I mean, these were like the smallest, tiniest particle, like a tiny percentage of, you know, what we could see as a speck of dust is the amount of DNA that was gained from under the fingernail. So whenever you've got a physical crime and like that, very hard not to leave that minuscule bit of DNA. And, of course, that decision was taken about 10 years ago to send those nail clippings from Kira to the UK for that very sophisticated analysis. And that was really the start of making that connection with the other crimes, like the Karakata rape and the assault in Huntingdale.
Now, you have been police minister in a number of ministries, so you've been following this case very closely for a number of years. Has it been bubbling up on your radar quite frequently of late, or did it kind of disappear for a couple of years and then it sort of came up with something new, or has it always sort of been in the back of your mind when you've been taking over these portfolios?
Oh, it's never been off my mind. Jeff Gallop gave me the shadow police portfolio back in the late 1990s.
Yes.
I remember going to a church service for Kira very early on at the Perth Cathedral. I remember very clearly when they tested all the attempted to get DNA from all taxi drivers in Perth. When Lance Williams was the key person of interest. And when I came back into the role of being police minister this time, it was... And I had my first briefing with the then Commissioner Carl O'Callaghan,
mm-hmm.
Someone who I'd appointed to the job when I'd previously been minister. Matt Crowe was one of the topics that we had a long discussion about.
Yeah, it's just fascinating just to see all the pieces sort of come together yesterday. We'll leave Claremont there, Minister, but I guess moving mm-hmm. into the long weekend, we've spoken before about the issues in Northbridge, and I think I spoke to the new CEO of the City of Perth, Michelle Reynolds, early this week, and she made a really good point about, you know, just look after your mates. Don't let people be idiots when you're going out and about, specifically this long weekend. What is your message to West Australians who maybe want to party on a little bit too much over the Queen's birthday long weekend?
I think that's a very good message from Michelle Reynolds, and I certainly wish her well in her role at the City of Perth. I think she's certainly got the capacity to do a fantastic job. My message is really the same as always. We want people to enjoy themselves. Northbridge and the city are places we want people to come. We want them to enjoy themselves, but you also want people to be safe. So, look after yourself. Look out for your friends, and don't have too much to drink. And if you see your friends that have had too much to drink, help them get home and help them get home safely. The consequences of some of the actions in Northbridge, people live with for decades. In recent times, there have been some shocking assaults. Those people who've committed those assaults have all been brought to account. They've been put before the courts. Many of them will do jail time, and they've got that police record for the rest of their life. So, a moment of just not thinking, a moment of doing something stupid, you live with those consequences. It affects your family. It affects your prospects in terms of job and well-being for the rest of your life.
I think it's just really interesting that we've coming into the long weekend where you say things like that, because I think, as we heard from both yourself and the Premier and obviously the Police Commissioner yesterday talk about, when you look at a case like Claremont, just the tentacles that something like this can have an impact on so many people. And it is the same when there is senseless acts of violence, whether that's in our city precinct or in the suburbs. So it's, again, just sort of being, I guess, focused on making sure that you look out for one another and the community.
I think too, what we saw was that it affects the victim's family quite obviously.
Yes.
But the perpetrator's families
Indeed.
Are very much affected as well.
Yeah.
So anybody that does drink too much and do something stupid, their parents, their family are really dragged into it in a most horrific way.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of someone that was, we mentioned it briefly just before, Lance Williams, who was the focus of Macro for so many years, given that there is now a conviction, and although that he is now deceased, do you think that the state will ever provide a public apology to him?
WA Police have apologised to Lance Williams. It's my recollection that Carla Callaghan provided an apology to Lance Williams. I would certainly apologise to him. No police officer would have deliberately set out to target him personally. Those that, when he was targeted, it was because people believed it was a very genuine lead. So, but it was a wrong lead. That's been acknowledged by WA Police. It's acknowledged by me and the government.
Yeah, for sure. Given that police now have indicated that they would like to continue speaking to Bradley Robert Edwards, if he does decline, what would you say to him if he does have any more information?
I think the only, nothing brings back the girls, nothing... that people's opinion of him is incredibly low. So if there's one redeeming thing he can do, it would be to let us know where he's left Sarah Spears. He's put her family and the families of the other girls through living hell. And if he's got any shred of human decency, he'll tell us where Sarah is.
Indeed. Should you be successful at the March 2021 election, will Macro and the Claremont serial killer be front of mind for you if you do resume the police minister police portfolio?
It's always front of mind, and it's something we need to get a result on. I mean, the awareness in Perth, the fear that was created in the community for so long, that period of time of not knowing, and then we went through a period of time where no one really had any confidence that anyone would ever be charged. And that was something that hung over West Australia very strongly. So, for those of us who've lived through it, it will never go away. And even those people that are 20 years old or younger, their parents have been affected. There's hardly a person in Perth that hasn't been touched by what's happened here.
Indeed. Well, on the bright side, at least we did get a conviction for the two other lovely young girls that were horrifically taken. So, Police Minister Michelle Roberts, thank you so very much for your time.
Thanks, Jenna. Good to be with you.
Joining me now is top QC Tom Percy. Tom, obviously the fact that Sarah's body has never been found is critical in the acquittal of Edwards on that charge. Was there ever any chance of a conviction given the lack of evidence for Sarah Spears?
Oh, there was an overwhelming chance of a conviction. if the judge had embraced a number of the other theories that were floated by the prosecution, you know, the screams at night, the homicide pattern evidence. I've listed these in an article I've written for The West today,
indeed,
page 11. And, you know, there are about eight critical things that the judge rejected. So it could well be that the prosecution, meeting now at the offices of the DPP to consider an appeal against his acquittal in relation to Sarah Spears.
Interesting. So you think that that's more than likely could happen?
Who knows? But, I mean, about 10 years ago, the law was changed so that that sort of appeal could be lodged. Before, there was never any appeal by the prosecution against an acquittal, even if there was fresh evidence or a significant error of law. So now they can, and they may well do.
Would that impact the verdict that was found for the Rimmer case and also the Glennon case, though?
No, it wouldn't. But, of course, Edwards has the opportunity to appeal those decisions too. Yeah. So, you know, I said all along that whilst yesterday was an important milestone in the case, it's by no means the end.
Because obviously we go to sentencing on December 23. What can we expect from that?
Well, he has to get sentenced in relation to the sexual assaults at Huntingdale and Karakata. So, you know, I think he's probably going to get, 12 to 16 years in Karakata, a bit more on the other one. Probably best part of 18 years, you'd think, on those. So there's not much light of the tunnel there. He'll get life imprisonment, which is effectively mandatory in relation to the murders. Probably non-parole of 35, something like that, you would think. So, you know, there's not much light at the end of the tunnel. I mean, people say he sat there impassively. His world didn't change yesterday.
Yeah.
He's known this for a long time, that the benders that he's pleaded guilty to would probably mean that he'd never be released, because at the end of the day, you have to convince the Prisoners Review Board that you're an eligible candidate for parole, and an Attorney General to sign off on it. So neither of those are likely. So, you know, he was just nothing in yesterday's verdict for him at all, one way or the other. So you can understand why he probably showed no emotion.
Yeah, it's fascinating, and I think people do, again, we are all obsessed with, you know, true crime stories and things like that. Interestingly, we had the Police Commissioner Chris Dawson and also the Premier, and then I just spoke to Police Minister Michelle Roberts, pleading with Bradley Robert Edwards, if he does have any more information, to speak to police. What would you say to that? I mean, is there any likelihood that he could potentially open up?
Oh, none at all, I would have thought. I imagine his lawyers told him not to say anything. Is it really worth his while? I mean, who's ever going to let him out on parole? Any Attorney General, who may not even be born yet, is going to let him out on parole? What's the upside for him?
Yeah. Do you think that, I mean, people probably don't realise that he is in solitary, so he's not really having a lot of access to how we're all feeling out here. What will his life look like in jail moving forward?
Oh, I don't know. Probably there's a lot of people in there who've been in there for a very long time, Jenna. You know, I've got clients who've been in there 30-plus years, well past their parole dates. And, you know, they get about it. How they're housed and their situation is generally assessed by the prison authorities. It's not something that's anything to do with the courts. I mean, the judges don't say, well, you'll be kept in solitary confinement. That's an administrative matter for the courts. So, I mean, a lot of the prisoners in with Catherine Burney weren't born when she was sentenced. So, you know, they don't hold any grudges or anything like that. They've heard that she might have done something back in ancient history. And that's, I guess, what will happen to Edwards, you know, gradually people. I mean, the crimes are 25 years old now. So probably the majority of people in prison with him were not born when he committed the crimes.
It's just, it blows my tiny mind, that's for sure. In terms of the judgment yesterday, Justice Stephen Hall's 700-plus page judgment, what do you think that this will mean now for the WA legal fraternity? Will this be one of the most interesting pieces of you know, hearings that we've ever seen?
I don't think so. Look, there are a number of interesting principles, but Nothing new, I wouldn't have thought. Mm-hmm. The law in Western Australia is really shaped by the Court of Appeal, not by single judges. And single judges hearing a trial are deciding things which are in accordance with the established law.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing really new. I think he said it in his opening statement. It was a trial like no other. Mm. It's a trial like every other.
Yeah, yeah. It's certainly been a really interesting time. Tom Percy, thank you for explaining all of that for us. And your piece in today's West is definitely a must read. Now, weekend, you and I do love to chat about punting. What do you got coming up?
Haven't got anything of mine. I'm waiting for the Kilgoorlie Cup the weekend after.
Is it?
And I'll speak to you before then.
That looks great. We look forward to it. Tom Percy, QC, thank you so much for your time.
Good on you. Thanks, Jenna.
Coming up, we'll be speaking with Australian cricket coach Justin Langer, who, like all of us, is feeling pretty sad following the death of the cricket legend Dean Jones.
The West Live. Making news.
Matt Tinney from Sunrise, I don't think I've ever said TGIF as heartily as I said today. You must be the same.
It's been one of those weeks, hasn't it? I've just felt like I've limped to the finish line.
Yeah, indeed. What is making news this morning?
Well, this morning, of course, the fallout from the Claremont verdict, and the police commissioner has revealed that detectives will interrogate Claremont killer Bradley Edwards in jail. The commissioner has vowed that they will not stop searching for the body of Sarah Spears. Of course, yesterday, Bradley Edwards was found guilty of the murder of Jane Rimmer and Kira Glennon, but there was not enough evidence to prove beyond reasonable doubt that he killed Sarah Spears. Mm. So that case is ongoing. I think there was quite a subdued feeling yesterday when that verdict came down, because for the Spears family, there's no closure yet.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's just a very sad and sombre end to the week, that's for sure, regardless of what side of the fence you're on with this one. What else is happening in Queen's Rocks up north?
Yeah, big fire, double story inferno up there. Fire investigators are heading back out to the property this morning to try to figure out what happened. Luckily, everybody got out of this one, but when you hear from neighbours, it was quite terrifying. And looking at the pictures, the flames well over the top of this two-story property. It's been gutted by this blaze. So we'll follow up today on what caused the fire, if mm-hmm. we have that information from firefighters.
Indeed. Yesterday was a massive day, and we saw after the Legislative Assembly rose yesterday afternoon, Health Minister Roger Cook held a press conference late in the day about a COVID outbreak on a ship just out of Port Hedland, yeah?
Yes, not another one. Here we go. We have a bulk carrier off Port Hedland, and two of the crew members so far have tested positive to the coronavirus. So a rapid response team from Perth has headed up that way, and they will head out to the ship. They'll have to decide whether they take these two crew members off the ship. They'll have to work out if other people have contracted the virus or not,
mm-hmm.
And obviously to try to treat these people, but also keep the WA population safe. So we've seen this before with with cruise ships in WA.
Don't mention Artania. Artania.
Look, it was so 2020, so long ago. But hopefully they can get on top of this situation, and you know, those crew members are okay. There's 21 on board, we're told, but still, you know, not a great situation, especially as there is this push to open the borders up, and you know, you see other states, New South Wales and South Australia, opening up, people flying between Sydney and Adelaide. Of course, we still have our hard border here, but we are expecting some fresh health advice from WA's Chief Health Officer, next week.
Indeed.
So that will be interesting to see if there's a bit of a shift and what that means for the hard border.
Indeed. I think we're all going to be watching, gathered around the wireless for that one for sure. Matt Tinney from Sunrise, we'll see you back on air on Monday, and then you'll join us on the West Live straight after.
Have a great weekend, Jenna.
You too. Thanks, Maddie. Coming up on the eve of school holidays, a warning for families heading to a very popular hotspot. Ben O'Shea will reveal where and why later in the Wild West. But first, we're pretty excited because Ned's have recently jumped on board as a proud sponsor of The West Live. We're excited to take it to the Neds level this spring racing season. And a shout out to anyone who's heading up to Cowal for the Cowal Cup in the next couple of weeks. Neds is where betting meets innovation and fun, which is why they have launched a tool to help you find your perfect match. Filter form filters, racing form fast, all based on your preferences. It is Neds level, let me tell you. You simply select your preferences and filter form does the rest. For example, you can filter last start winners, one at the track, even an odds range. Hell, you could even use filter form to decide what you're going to watch on Netflix tonight. Download the Neds app today and take it to the Neds level. Don't forget to gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858. Now, Dean Jones was the man who revolutionised the game of cricket in Australia, specifically the one-day matches. And he died yesterday in India, aged just 59, after suffering a cardiac arrest. Joining me now is Australian cricket coach Justin Langer. JL, we're so sorry and really appreciative of you joining us this morning. How are you holding up?
Oh, very sad time. There's no doubt about that. He was not only a great cricketer, and when we were growing up, just like you said, he revolutionised one day cricket with the way he went about it. So yeah. He was a hero to us growing up, and then became a really good mate for all of us in the later years. So it's a terrible shock, and we're all very saddened by last night's news.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one thing I remember growing up watching, he was a man that really captured my attention in the one day matches with those bright yellow lips wearing the coloured zinc and the bright sunnies and things like that. To you, you guys were quite close because obviously you sort of usurped him after at the end of his career when you just started. Can you explain some of your favourite memories for us?
Well, I just spoke to him last Wednesday, actually. He loved cricket. He loved Australian cricket. So, and you said say about the sunglasses. I wondered right now if any of the players would be wearing sunglasses, and they all do now, if it wasn't for Jonesy. So that's a fond memory. It was only a few months ago also I had lunch with Tom Moody and Jeff Marsh and Adam Gilchrist at Tom's house, and during the course of the afternoon we FaceTimed everyone from the 1989 Ashes tour, including Jonesy. It was one of the great afternoons. And the message about 20 minutes later from Dino was, thanks so much for thinking about me. I'm so jealous. I wish I was there with you guys. So, he's a ripper, and he's one of those guys who was always full of energy, full of life, full of, and controversial at times because he spoke his mind and knew what he stood for. All the great things we love about great Australians, actually. So it's a bit surreal, actually, knowing that he's passed away last night.
Yeah, for sure. Now, I my heart does go out to you because I understand that you're in isolation at this point in time. How are you holding up?
I was just listening to your last the last caller, and he was saying, I'm praying we soften the borders a bit by the end of next week, because I've got 2 weeks here in quarantine, then I've got 2 weeks back home into quarantine. So a month's quarantine, when you're putting things in perspective, is a bit hard to take. But anyway, fingers crossed. But no, we're holding up okay. We're, the South Australian government's allowing us to train every second day, which is great because our season's about to get underway. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been so strict for the last few months. We've had 7 or 8 coronavirus tests. We had a chartered flight home to England and home from England. Mm-hmm. We lived in a hub for 5 weeks in England. So it's full on, but I can't wait to get home, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. How's the team holding up, I guess, with the news of obviously Dino, and then I guess just trying to deal with all of these COVID measures?
Well, it's one of the great challenges we've got ahead, Jenna, because I mean, last year I was away from home about 300 days of the year.
Yeah.
And now this year, I mean, in one sense, we had the blessing of having a few months at home, but now it's with all the restrictions and the quarantine restrictions, it just adds extra time to that. So instead of 300 days, we'll probably be 340 days away this year. So it's sacrifices we make, and it's important at the moment we keep the game moving forward. But there's certainly the challenges ahead for our guys' physical and mental health, no doubt about that.
Yeah, for sure. I saw on the news last night, and then I was talking to the great man Adrian Barrett about Mitch Marsh and how he's keen to come home. Would you be keen to see him rejoin the squad?
Well, he's come home because he's hurt his ankle, so he's got to come home. He'll be One, he's got to get out of Dubai, which is one of the challenges with, the complexities these days with all the different stakeholders, whether it's the governments, the state or federal, the biosecurity, in our case, the broadcasters, and even the airlines now. I mean, it's not easy for Mitch just to jump on a commercial flight and get back to Perth from Dubai where he is at the moment. So there's all those challenges, but he'll get home. He'll do his quarantine in Perth, hopefully recover quickly, and then he'll be with us, fingers crossed, for the start of the summer.
Yeah, for sure. In terms of a tribute for Dean Jones, what do you suggest that should take part this summer?
Well, it's just happened so quickly, and we're not playing. The men's team aren't playing for 5 or 6 weeks now. I know the women's team start on the weekend, so I'm sure that will come up. I mean, it was the chairman who gave me the sad news last night, so it'll be front of mind for everyone. I'm sure there'll be a great tribute for him. And if nothing else, the fact that I've spoken to so many of my brothers from Australian cricket over the last 12 hours or so, that's the tribute. We're all telling great stories about him, all having a smile and a cry about it. So, he'll get plenty of tributes, and he should. I mean, his nickname was the Legend, or Ledge, as he liked to call himself, and we used to like to call him. So he'll be smiling. He'll be smiling and happy that all his old mates are having a laugh and a beer in his honour.
Yeah, indeed. Well, JL, look, you take care of yourself and your heart in quarantine over there. All of us here in WA, our hearts go out to you guys in the cricket fraternity and also the wider community. Good luck in ISO. Can't wait to see you back on home soil in WA very soon.
Thanks, Jenna. See you soon.
The Wild West.
You missed it by a mile.
Jeff Parry and Ben O'Shea, my second favourite doubleheader. I have to say that because Duff and Quarters will be listening. How are we, gents?
Good.
I'm good.
You've been busy.
Yeah,
Jeff Parry.
Yes, I have. Yes, it's been a busy week.
It's been a time, hasn't it?
It has, and just an extraordinary week. Really, it's one of those ones, isn't it, Ben? You know, just
historic.
It's historic. It is. I mean, it's probably the best word for it. Actually, it's something a lot of us have lived through for 24 years. Mm. Who would have thought, you know, in those first year or two that it would have been what it's turned out to be, and that would end up with just this momentous occasion yesterday. So very tragic, obviously, but a momentous time.
Yeah, and especially for people of a certain age, my age, sort of just in between you two, who were, you know, going to Claremont on the weekends in those clubs when this was all happening, and the fear of it, like being a uni student, it was just so palpable at the time. I imagine it was, you know, a lot like the, you know, the Eric Edgar Cook stuff from, you know, like a few decades earlier,
around about 64, yes,
mm. that really kind of gripped Perth at the time, and I think people who didn't live through that can't really imagine what it was like.
Yeah,
I think it's really hard for kids these days to fully grasp what that feeling was, and to see it finally come to a conclusion as it was this week. It just was such a strange feeling yesterday for me. Like, and I'm sure it was the same for so many others.
Well, you're right. I mean, you know, just harking back to the Eric Edgar Cook time back in the early 60s, and there was an occasion where the police were looking through a pine forest somewhere, and I think it was a TV reporter who said, you know, everyone should come down here and help the police. And hundreds of people, men, showed up with their rifles. They were carrying their 22s, which is the day, I mean, people had guns in those days, and I think the police were horrified, but, you know, they joined in this sort of...
the cavalry come over here.
There was this emu stalk through, I think it might have been Como or somewhere like that. And the Eric Edgar Cook times, I mean, that had the western suburbs absolutely fearful. I didn't do a lot of reporting on it because I was doing other things at the time. We had our police reporters and Ali Pham with courts and all that sort of stuff, so they did most of that. But, you know, it certainly did grip the entire metro area. And I was listening to someone, one of the taxi drivers, saying he went and picked, when he used to go and pick rides up, fares up from home, the parents would come out or people would come out and film the car, like take a photo of the car, the registration and the driver.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, because some their daughters were getting into to this taxi.
It's really weird. It's even speaking to women who are younger than I am now and just trying to explain to them when they can't get their head around, what do you mean they went out without a phone? What do you mean they just, you know, that used to hitchhike? Yeah. And it's like, no, there weren't, technology wasn't around back then. And yeah, and just the fact that I think what you say now to every girlfriend that you leave is get home safe. Let me know when you're home safe. Text me. You always take a photo of the taxi number. I think that was just ingrained as I was like coming up through the ranks at Club Bayview and the Claremont. Yeah. It's bloody crazy.
Yeah.
And what was that pub like? I never went.
The Conti?
Yeah.
Oh, it was a banger.
I mean, everyone went there, didn't they?
Yeah,
I was. Well, I had young children then, so I was sort of out of the game. But, you know,
out of rotation.
But I mean, it was the place to go, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Even just thinking about it last night, you kind of you look at the way that the social fabric of Perth being the city after the 80s, where you know everyone was lunching at the Hilton back then, but then everyone sort of migrated to the suburbs for a long lunch in Subi, and then you'd end up in Claremont, and then. Yeah. Everyone, and it was such a friendly place.
Mm. Or you'd have the Sunday session at Cot and then end up at Club Bayview.
Oh, that bus ride, though. Yeah. Those seats could talk.
Probably best that they don't. And not to mention that everybody who lived through that era never thought this would be solved. Like, we thought this was always going to be the mystery that hung over Perth forever.
Mm.
And yes, and it sort of almost did. And it was extraordinary now hearing some of the backstories of the sort of stuff, the money that was raised by the Glennon family to sort of get a lot of the scientific, the DNA testing equipment and all that sort of stuff in, and the way that they pushed. We know that there were some terrible mistakes made in the macro investigation but I mean, I suppose you accept that. I mean, you look back and say, well, it was a great pity for Lance Williams and all that he went through, but and nothing's going to change that. But you know, there were officers who were driven, absolutely believing that he was the suspect, and they pursued that. Lance Williams suffered a great deal as a result of that, but I suppose now that's in the past. The community has a result. The families have a result. Even the Spears family have a result. It's not the one that anyone wanted for them. So that, you know, but it raises some interesting questions. We were talking about this before, weren't we, Ben, about, you know, whether if the appeal is made to Edwards, you know, tell us where Sarah Spears is, whether if they then produce a body, whether he could be recharged. Does double jeopardy exist? You know, can you build another case around that? Do you offer trade off possible life in jail for without parole for the other two convictions in the hope that he might know where Sarah Spears is and tell the police?
It's got all the hallmarks of a Hollywood blockbuster, which is the sad part for sure. Now, in terms of what else we've been covering this week, I was conscious yesterday that yesterday would have been the day everyone took out the trash. Did we miss anything? Did the government announce anything? Did any celebrity get engaged or divorced?
No.
Were busy. You were out at Cash Arena the entire day.
Yeah, so I missed that. Not that I'm aware of. There was the couple of COVID cases popped up on a ship. That's not the government's. When they announced that, that's not a government issue. No, there's a lot of funnily you should say that, because there have been an absolute heap of annual reports from government departments all tabled in the last couple of days.
Yeah.
Like dozens of them.
Dump.
And I don't think anyone's had the chance to go through them.
No.
Just the way the government likes it.
Well, I'm sure we'll get around to it, but, you know, the sting might be out of the tail. So.
Yeah, exactly. Now, what is making news in Kalgoorlie, Ben O'Shea?
Well, look, the thing that I've learnt this week is ignore a Kalgoorlie woman at your own peril. That's the key takeaway from the Kalgoorlie Magistrates Court this week, when a woman has pleaded guilty to damaging property, trespassing, and a bunch of other stuff. But the key to this case was that she's rocked up at a bloke's house in Leonora back in April, and she wanted to tell him off. She intended to tell him off for him damaging her property at some point. Oh. And he was there watching the TV with his mates, and she's berated him, and he has ignored her. He has not listened to her at all. She's become so fed up with this that she has grabbed the flat screen TV that him and his mates were watching and has smashed it. Not on him, but smashed.
Not the flat screen TV.
Yeah, well, it's very flat now. It's in multiple pieces.
You just sort of dream about doing something.
I know, right?
You never do it.
No, you don't do it. You don't do it. If you're Led Zeppelin in a hotel, you do do it.
Yeah.
So she's done that and then stormed off, as you would. I imagine it was a very dramatic scene. And I hope they were watching it. And the April, the footy on there?
I don't know what would have been. What it would have been. Probably the footy.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, if you're sitting down with your mates,
Schitt's Creek on Netflix. Give you Schitt's Creek, buddy. and she stormed off, and then a few months, and then she didn't really get into any trouble for that one. But then a few months later, she was busted for a DUI. At which point, they discovered that she was driving without a license. Her blood alcohol was four times the legal limit, 0.216, which is pretty high. And it turns out she's had a bunch of DUIs, and so she's fronted the magistrate, who said, "Look, you got a bit of a bad history when it comes to these driving offences, and the TV situation's also not great." And the judge said, "I appreciate you got irritated and frustrated because you weren't getting anywhere, but it's not an excuse to damage anyone's property." But because of the combination of these crimes, he thought that, you know, some sort of custodial sentence was due, but because she hadn't committed any offences for 5 years before this, he decided to suspend the sentence. So he gave her a 6-month suspended sentence, and she had to pay $500, which I don't know if that would cover the TV. Depends how big it was.
No, it'd be a small TV for $500.
Yeah.
No, he's lost. The victim's the victim.
The victim is the victim, exactly. Yeah.
Did he get to do a victim's impact statement?
Yeah, well, I hope so.
Yeah.
He's like, he missed the Schitt's Creek finale. He hasn't been able to watch the footy.
It happened in front of his mates.
Yeah.
And you know what also is bad? You can just tell that reading all of those, everything that you've listed, she's got the perfect personality traits to star on a dating reality TV show. Yeah. So
look for her on the next series of The Bachelor.
Yeah, for sure.
If she doesn't get a rose, look out.
Yeah.
Now,
you guys... from the champagne, like pre-show.
Oh, that's a mess. That's a hot mess. Now, Busselton, school holidays are heading off, and I know that a lot of people are heading down south. Is it booked out?
Oh, it has to be close to booked out. Like, it would be just crazy if you're trying to go down there and find some accommodation now and you don't have it booked. It would be chock-a-block for sure. But if you are going down there, take the Mozzie repellent, take the AeroGuard, take the Rid, whatever it takes, some mosquito coils, some citronella, douse yourself in it. What do you know about Ross River virus?
Been around for a while, and they used to get outbreaks of it in Mandurah because they had the Mozzie problem there.
Yeah. Yep. Well, so they've just detected some mosquitoes that are carrying Ross River virus in Busso.
Right.
And so, like, if you get Ross River virus, it's pretty average. Like, it's a tropical infectious disease, and you can break out in a rash. You get really lethargic, no energy, and the symptoms can last, you know, in a good situation, maybe about 10 days, but they can actually linger on for months, and it can really be debilitating.
It's like a massive hangover doesn't leave you.
Yeah, you feel really, really rough. It can really knock you around.
No, Marlene,
Ross River virus. I think that's called the Inu export virus.
When you wake up on the lounge the next morning.
Yeah, so just be aware of that. So if you're going down to Busso, which so many people are, and schoolies is not that far away as well, so you just have to be mindful of that. Don't just think, oh, it's a Mozzie. So slap on the insect repellent. And if it gets really bad, if they start to detect heaps of Mozzies down there with it, they spray with helicopters or something like that, or the wetlands, because apparently there's been a bit more rain than usual or something down there.
Yeah.
A lot of low-lying water.
They go down and the helicopter's got those booms out the side of them, and they sort of spray around the place and try and kill the Mozzies before they breed.
So look out for the Mozzies down in Busso.
What do you think of schoolies going ahead in this time of COVID?
Yeah.
Well, look, I think it's hard.
As a Queenslander where it was born.
Exactly. I can see pros and cons. Like, I think it's hard to mount an argument against it based on where we are in the pandemic. Like, no cases, everything's tracking pretty good.
There's still a 2-meter rule.
Yeah, yeah. Which is not being enforced anywhere, can we just say?
Yeah.
Well,
gosh.
That's true. But anyway. But you know that it's certainly not going to be enforced at schoolies.
Yeah.
I don't have any problems going ahead. I mean, it just sort of...
Well, the problem is what I like about it is it gets all the kids together in one area where you can have security, you can keep an eye on them. They're not having private parties where I guarantee it's a lot more of an unsafe situation, especially for the young women involved. So I think there's a lot of positives to having a organised thing where you're collecting all the chaos in one spot rather than having it spread out throughout the southwest. So from a safety perspective, a harm minimisation perspective, I see some real positives. Like, are they going to stick to the physical distancing? Not a chance. Not a chance. But I see that on Sunday night down in Scarborough. So.
And at least they can't go to Bali.
Yeah.
Or any of those,
exactly.
Any of those
exactly.
places.
And that's very true.
Can't go to Roddo.
Yep. And that's probably for the best as well. So, look, the kids have had a pretty rough year, you know. Like, it looked like it was going to be one of the all-time crappiest years for it, like year 12s. Yeah. Like, what a experience. And they've managed to come through it. They're going to be doing their exams, right? Some of them, I think, maybe even got university places already. They had early offers.
Wasn't it based on some of their year 11 assessments or whatever? Because that's the only way that they could make the round offers or something or other.
That's right. So the kids who killed it last year, they'll be partying like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, I'm in.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you should go. Well, if you're going to go down to Leavers, go and pick some fruit while you're there.
Yeah, pick some fruit. And if you're a toolie, don't go down. We don't want toolies.
No, we spoke to the coordinators of Red Frogs earlier in the week, and he was basically like, if you don't have accommodation, don't come down.
Yeah. And if you're not in school, just find something else to do, you loser.
Yeah.
Like, geez, don't prey on school kids. It drives me crazy.
What's everyone up to for the weekend?
Oh, good question.
It's a long weekend, isn't it? Not for us.
Someone said it's a long weekend. Oh, is it? You know,
I honestly didn't know it was a long weekend. Yeah, I'm with you.
No, I got today and tomorrow off. I'm taking Henry swimming today.
Yes, Beatty Park.
Maybe Bowl Park.
Oh, lovely.
As long as it's heated.
Yeah.
I thought it was supposed to rain today too.
This afternoon, I think, is a storm coming through.
I was looking because it. I thought it was this morning, and it's no sign of rain, so which is great. So anyway, we'll get that out of the way. I don't know. Saturday, I'm just grateful to just have a day off and not have anything planned, particularly.
Good.
Back to work on Sunday.
Indeed. On 7 News, we'll see you then. What are you up to, Ben O'Shea?
Well, today marks the last day of work before 2 weeks of holidays.
Thanks for the heads up. I better write that down.
I'm still doing West Live because I obviously love it so much, so willing to sacrifice my holiday time, so you should be very grateful.
Obviously.
You listeners I'm talking to, not Jenna. So I'll be looking forward to starting to plan what that's going to involve. It might be some stuff around the house which has been left neglected for too long.
Mm-hmm.
And then beyond that, I got my mum coming down.
Finally!
Yeah. So she's coming down from, she teaches in an Aboriginal community in the middle of nowhere. And so she's coming down, spending the week with me. So we'll be taking her around town, showing her a good time.
Love it. Well, gentlemen, thank you so very much for joining us on the West Live in the Wild West this week. We'll see you next week.
Yep.
Thanks, Jenna.
That's it from me. Tune in on Monday while you're enjoying your long weekend. Sleep in at 8:45 over on thewest.com.au/live and also on Perth Now. Or you can catch up on a replay of today's episode at 12:30 or download the podcast. Have a lovely long weekend. See you Monday.
You've been listening to The West Live with Jenna Clark. Brought to you by Neds. Take it to the Neds level. Gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858. If the story behind the story matters to you, then you can count on thewest.com.au to deliver.
It's the podcast that has Australia captivated. Claremont, The Trial. We take you inside the courtroom with over 3 million downloads already. Catch up on Claremont The Trial at thewest.com.au or where you get your podcasts.